B-Pod Studios.
3 o'clock, Mike Missanelli Show. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli. More famous tomato pie, hoagie, partridge, everybody's good. Core Police people bought some food down here today. All kinds of tomato pies out there and hoagie party trays, which are, it's like you know, bare bones. I'm picking through the bones when I came in on that hoagie tray. Hembo will join us at 3:30. Now, I'm looking forward to Hembo's 5 statistical looks at this game to see if any of them favor the Philadelphia Eagles. This one doesn't. It's the ESPN Football Power Index, and it goes through each game this weekend. So let me get to the Philadelphia Eagles at New Orleans Saints. In FPI's view, Football Power Index, this is the best team in the playoffs facing the worst team in the playoffs. It should be a blowout. The Eagles will need some of that unquantifiable Nick Foles magic if they're going to pull off another upset. The Saints' offense is almost 9 points per game better than the Eagles' offense, according to FPI. This should be a blowout, it says, Tyrone.
They really wrote that, huh?
It's right here. It should be a blowout. Projection: Saints win by 11.5 points, according to the Football Power Index. For whatever that's worth. Might not be anything.
You know, I have something to say to that.
Go ahead. Imagine Carmen Ryan.
That's what we're back
wolf,
on there.
The wolf is rearing its head again.
It's coming back. That's what this is about.
The wolf.
We're not going to let that mess us up.
There you go.
No, the Saints, there is an issue. A lot of time, my main concern is, unlike a lot of offensive teams in the past where you can get into a shootout with them, their defense has played a lot better. I know that, I don't know if that got mentioned there.
Yep.
Their defense is holding people under 20 points. That's my actual concern. I think the Eagles' defense is going to play a lot better. My concern is that the Saints' defense actually may be able to match them. That's to me the fear, because they're not a shootout team. They can beat you 40-7 and it be real. That's the trouble in the
game.
It
should be a blowout, this says here, right on this page.
It's not going to be a blowout. It's definitely not.
I don't see a blowout either.
It's not going to be a blowout.
Football Power Index, whatever it's worth to you. Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Mike, I got a few fun things for you today. We get to them, but I just want to start off with, I'll give you some accolades. It was easy, though, to sniff that guy out, though, because, or at least you put him on the freaking, what's his name, on the block and try to chop him down a little bit. You did. You proved what a dope he was. You wait that long, and that's the best you got?
What kind of time do you have, a spare time that you want to come on, finally get on the air, and then you give me Nate Sudfeld? Come on.
Hey, Mike, but don't knock yourself, dude, because you know and I know one of the reasons you're always at the top of the ratings, and I know you're the best in the afternoon, is because your callers are, what's their name, loyal to you, because we do go on a lot quicker than other shows. You run 3 calls, you let the callers be a huge part of your show.
Well, that's the idea.
Correct. Absolutely right.
That's the idea.
There's one of them back then. I actually.
Yeah, I'm not here to pontificate for 4 hours. I want to hear what the people say.
Who would want to hear that, Mike? Who would want to hear anybody pontificate for 4 hours? Even though you got good people with you.
Right. Now, I'm fairly sure that I can pontificate for 4 hours.
We both know that, dude. You're as hubris as me, brother. There's no doubt about that. You can definitely go for 4 hours easy.
You put your hubris in the same category as my hubris? You got a lot of hubris.
Hey, dude, talk to Andy again, dude. Talk to Andy again. You remember I grew up with him for a while. Let me get to you another one. Of course, I want to talk surprise a little bit. But I got to throw Tyrone. Thanks for the pick last night, dude. I looked into it, too. Made a few coins on that last night, dude. The Cleveland. And what's the name? Pelicans.
Man, no problem, Pelicans.
Yeah, he said that in his ad.
Pelicans.
So anyway, dude, you made one huge mistake. Like, you out of 15, you know, I had to talk about this. Dude, I'm half Italian. You know, I told you before, I'm half. My Italian is Sicilian. And you know what that means, Mike, but the audience might not know. So you want to tell them, or I'll tell them.
Well, I'm half Sicilian, too. But what is your point about being a Sicilian?
When you were in the mob way back in the day, 30s, 40s, 50s, you not only had to be Italian, you had to be Sicilian.
That's correct.
Yes. I knew you knew. I was the best of the audience.
All right, now what's your Sopranos point?
A tidbit. Come on, dude. I don't take it personally, but it sounds a little misogynistic. Your top 5, dude, and I know what's the name, but definitely agree with me, your young, beautiful lady right there, Natalie. God, could you not have Carmella in your top five characters? You got to be kidding me, dude. She's a great actress, too.
Yeah, she is a great actress. Her character didn't resonate with me as much as some other characters did.
It wasn't.
She was a good character, obviously.
Now, you weren't being misogynistic. An argument could be made that she's top five, but a caller should call in and make up the argument. That just say your list is wrong. Tell us why she's top five. But you can make a pretty good argument that she's top five.
I just didn't really like her that much, to be honest.
Now, she wasn't likable. I agree with that.
Yeah, I just didn't put her in because these other characters I liked a lot as top five characters are my likable characters, the ones I liked the most.
From what I've seen, she had a lot of reasons to be the way that she was.
Oh, yes. Tony's driving her nuts.
Of course.
She was a philandering
sociopath.
What were the name of the girlfriends?
Which one?
Oh, I got them all.
No. What did she call them? There was
the Gumars.
I'm not one of your Gumars.
Yeah. You have made a fool of me for too long with these whores. She was a great character.
She was a great character.
But a lot of people are telling me I left out some idiots, and I have. I don't know how I did this. Carmine Lupertazzi, the little Carmine.
Oh, yeah.
Little Carmine's a lock for top five idiots. I don't know how I missed him. Then people are going Jackie Aprile Jr., Matthew Bevilacqua. And AJ wasn't an idiot as much as he was a little annoyance. He was the least liked character in the whole series.
Yes, because there was something entertaining about some of the other idiots.
He was a total annoying little punk.
You could have got rid of him and no one would have noticed.
Exactly.
He's just, well, you don't need him.
Right. It's going to Dave in Holmesburg. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing
What's
today?
Up, Dave? How you doing?
I'm down a little bit, man. I want to say a few things before you chime in. You can talk. Can I say it, please?
Go ahead.
Today's Violation Day.
Yeah?
And you're the first.
Yeah? What am I doing?
Well, you just said, you know, you're okay.
I didn't say I was okay. I wouldn't take change from you.
Now you bum me out, man.
Well, listen, Dave, let's be realistic about this, okay?
I'm realistic. I am.
All right, let me tell you.
Number two violations at Sean Payton, that little punk. You know what? Remember I told you last week that Chicago's going to rue the day they beat Minnesota?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The Saints were all gathered around a TV Sunday. Who do you think they was rooting for?
I don't know if they cared.
They did care. They got the comfort of home field advantage.
They wanted to play
the Cowboys Sunday, not the Eagles. That shows me a little stubbornness on this part.
Why did they want to play the Cowboys and not the Eagles?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Why you want to make a statement?
I think it'd be an easier team.
Yeah. All right, well.
And I woke up this morning with the ZZ Top son. I was on top of the wheel. Here's the ZZ Top they did with that.
Dave, you sound a little cranky today. What's going on?
I don't feel good.
What's going on?
What's the problem? You got me upset even more.
I got you upset?
Yeah.
I apologize. I didn't mean to get you upset.
ZZ
but what's,
Top son.
What's going on? What's with the crankiness? What's going on in Holmesburg that made you cranky?
My dogs are painted the butt today.
Your dog?
Yeah.
What's the dog doing?
He's an old English bulldog. He won't leave me alone when I'm talking to you. He's jealous.
He won't leave you alone, the bulldog?
His name's Chaos. Listen, give Chaos a treat.
What?
What they did with the ZZ Top song about Jesus leaving Chicago.
Yeah, what about it?
That was great, wasn't it?
Oh, you talking about when the Midday Show?
Yeah, they made Foles leaving Chicago.
Yes, it was the intro to the Folesian line.
Yeah.
Yes.
And listen, I agree with you.
I'm too miserable today. You got to get a cup of green tea.
Get a cup of green tea
and settle down. All right? Sit at the Formica table and have some green tea. Right? Chill out. What else? Warm milk? Something.
You need something.
Yeah, he's all
what
cranky.
Dennis Free to say in Midnight Run?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Relax, Sydney. Sit down and have a cream soda. Lou in California. Lou, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lou.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I am very optimistic about this game, and I'll tell you why. The Saints are rusty, and they're scared. And if they're not scared, why else does Sean Payton have to come out with material things, money, a trophy, and say, you want this, win three games? We are a team, and we're led by Nick Foles, who values relationships and playing next to one another. So they're already looking for signs of motivation. They're scared. I think so. And here's how we're going to win the game tactically. And I want you guys to react to this.
First of all, let me stop before you get to that. Had Doug Peterson done that in the Eagles locker room, you would have thought it was a stroke of genius. Am I right? That's so cool what he did. You bring the thing in and like go, here it is. Here's the carrot at the end of the stick. Play me three games and you got it. Well, what's wrong with that?
Hey, because that's not our team. Maybe it'll work for their team, but that's not our team. I think Foles is a leader. We're going to be good no matter what. We're going to come ready to play. It's going to be a close game. And I'll give you the biggest key to the game is having our timeouts ready in the second half, but it's going to be close. And whoever has the ball last, just like the last playoff game, is going to win this. So if that means getting very risky or blitzing or whatever to make sure we have the ball at the end of the game or running the clock out if we have the ball at the end of the game, I don't want us to not lose this game to Drew Brees because he has the ball. Both these quarterbacks are going to come to play. It's going to be close. I think Sproles makes the difference with a big play to set up a field goal, and we win 27-26.
All right, brother. From your mouth to Nick Foles' God's ears. That's all I got to say about that. A lot of people are not liking the Sean Payton thing. They're trying to, they need the motivation. We don't. On its face, it was a pretty good motivating thing, don't you think? I mean, did you appreciate that? That step?
I loved it. I really did. I
think it's very innovative.
It means he took the time to call up and set up to get the $230,000 cash.
Well, because Mr. Owner.
I'm saying, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
What's he make?
Oh, he makes
$7 million. He can go to the bank, withdraw that.
I don't think. I'm saying you still have to go to some effort. You can't just go to the ATM and get $230,000.
That's true.
The plan is what I mean. A Briggs truck had to come.
If you punched in $230,000 and wouldn't spit it out.
Just go spit it out. So a Briggs truck had to come. It's got to be armed guards.
Yeah.
So you had to plan it. You had to get the trophy.
Yep.
Got to go grab that out.
Where do you get the trophy?
Probably the last trophy when they won it before.
Oh, okay.
They probably had it in the building. So you got to get the trophy over with the cash. I think it's great. I can't hate on it. I don't like the Saints. I don't like him. You know I don't like Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I love that. I can't hate on it.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I love it. I wish if this boss did that, it would motivate me. Came down with a much smaller stack. Hey, have a couple good weeks of shows.
But the truth is, you really have to be a favorite to get there to pull that off. Like, you can't be Joe Bag of Donuts team and that's fake bravado. If you're a viable team like the Saints, everybody's picking to go to the Super Bowl. So if you're a viable team like the Saints, that works better with a team that expects to be there.
Saints, Rams, Patriots.
You're showing them something tangible.
Yeah, I get you.
All right, let's go to Mike in Reading. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but I've been solely practiced up up until this game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pissed now. I'm pissed now because of what happened in 2013, and even more because I watched the highlights of the 2006 game this morning. Actually,
you did 2006,
the Jeff Garcia year.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and that game ended on a false. That ended because we had to punt because we had a false start penalty after we converted on a 4th and 10 to Hank Basket with Jeff Garcia.
Hank Basket. Right? I forgot about good old Hank.
I'm just saying, this guy's had our number twice in the playoffs now.
Uh-huh.
I don't care about optimism, confidence. That's not really what my mindset is. My mindset is just, it's really just, I'm going to be devastated if they don't pull it off in the end.
All right. Well, listen, I can see where you'd be devastated. And I haven't gotten to that bridge. When it happens, I don't know how I'm going to react. But I was just pondering it today when my trainer friend came out to me and said, if they don't do it, it's like I can't be like completely devastated after like the effort it took to get to this point. And I started thinking about it. I go, no, he's not incorrect. You know?
He's not wrong. I think we need to like you just take it personally now and between the what he said last year, what Peyton's doing now, and just get some Quinones and you know.
Well, I think this whole game is on, believe it or not, Jim Schwartz, and he's got to hold the score down a little bit. He can't expect that the offense is going to outscore the Saints if they don't do something special. I don't know what they can do. I really don't. This quarterback has seen everything in his career. So I don't know if you can trick him. I don't know if you can trick him with inferior players also. It's going to have to be an all-world day from the front four, and the linebackers playing just like they played last week. That's what it's going to have to be. It's simple. All right, let's go. Cowboy Kenny. Oh, now he's getting used to calling in. All right, Cowboy Kenny, what do you got to say today?
Mike, how do you not remember? I've been calling you for over a month now.
All right.
That's not true!
You usually call it midday, guys.
Yeah, I call them too. But look, check it out. The word got out yesterday that apparently that you put me in my place. So now I work with a bunch of Eagles fans. So now I got Eagles fans all at my job. Want to know if I'm going to call today and have you put me in my place again. So I felt obligated to call and ask a question.
Well, first of all, do you think it was difficult for me to put you in your place? It's like spelling cat to put you in your place.
I mean, I don't really see it that way.
All right, go ahead.
I don't think that you really put me in my place.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can take what you want.
I got a question to ask. This is all fun. Keep in mind, I don't know you. This is fun to me. All right, check it out. You had a caller earlier today that was in Dallas. Philly fan, Eagles fan. You didn't want to say anything about he was a fraud, but you called me a fraud several times.
You missed the whole point. If I was doing sports talk radio in Dallas, and it was a guy who from Dallas who was an Eagle fan, then he would be a fraud. What is so hard for you to understand? See, you try to come at me with stuff, and you don't even understand the concept. You're a native of this area. That makes you a fraud that you don't root for the teams in this area.
Oh, okay. So that guy that was the Philly fan.
Philly fan in Dallas. He's representing Philly in Dallas. Now, he's not.
He's not from Philly? I mean, he's from Philly?
He's from Philly.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes a little bit more sense.
Come on, the Cowboy Kenny. I'm trying not to smack you around here, but you're too easy.
Hey, look, I never run from a fight, big guy. So let's get it on. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's just fun to me. Look, first of all, I love football. Right?
Yeah.
I love the NFC East. Right? Mm-hmm. It just so happened that your stinking team is in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. And y'all brought one Super Bowl to the party.
Cowboy Kenny, see, this y'all thing gets under my skin. Like, you're a native of this area, and you're going y'all. And see, that ticks me off.
Yeah,
that's what the violation is. You're talking to your fellow Philadelphians, and you're calling these people y'all.
Mike,
now that's a violation.
Jersey. I'm not from Philadelphia.
You're from South Jersey.
Irvington, I'm from North Jersey.
Oh, you're from North Jersey? You should be a Giants fan then.
Oh, my God. Mike, when I was growing up, there was no Giant fan. There was only Cowboy and Pittsburgh fans.
Don't try to wriggle out of the fraud factor. You know, you're a wriggler. You are what you are. I just tell people, listen, accept what you are. You're a weasel. So just accept that and we can get along. I can treat you as a weasel. 610-632-0975. That's the number. That's how you get in. Hembo coming up in exactly, well, a few, 5 minutes or so. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It is 3:30. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. 3:30 on a Thursday. You only mean one thing. We get a visit from the great Hembo from ESPN's Get Up Show. And there are some statistics he's going to unveil this week that I love. And a couple of them not that crazy about. Hembo, how you doing?
Yo, we did it again, baby.
Yes.
It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. You must be like holding sway.
Over the moon. I'm holding
it.
Yes, exactly.
In the ESPN family.
And I'm holding it down over here, representing the Philly group here on the show. These guys can't fathom how the Eagles keep winning. I got to keep setting them straight.
I know with you there, you could be a good luck charm. That's right. You're teaching those guys a lot of things about NFL football and this team and the character of this team. But let's get into the statistics here. Now, you point out this is like a classic statistic. I love this statistic, okay? The Eagles' pass rush is going to have to get home quick. Why?
I'll give you the single most important number in this game, Mikey Miss. That number is 2.5, as in the number of seconds the Eagles' pass rush will need to get home. Drew Brees went 12 of 13 passing for 3 touchdowns on attempts within 2.5 seconds in Week 11 against the Eagles, and he was only pressured on 2 of those dropbacks. But the Eagles registered a pass rush win rate within 2.5 seconds 65% of the time last week in Chicago, the best of any team on Wild Card Weekend. And for the season, the Saints produced the worst pass block win rate of any team to reach the playoffs.
Oh, my God. So stat number one is Eagles have a strength getting to the quarterback quicker, and the Saints have not protected as well.
Conventional wisdom suggests that the Saints protect Drew Brees well because the sack totals are so low. That is much more a byproduct of the offense and much less a byproduct of the effectiveness of the offensive line.
All right. Now, we know how the Saints ran all over the Eagles in that first meeting. There was a key guy that was missing there. So give me the stats on the rushing attack that might be different this time with the Eagles against.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Eagles allowed a season high 173 rush yards to the Saints in that game. And the Saints exploited a weakness on the left side of the Eagles' defensive line. 132 of those yards came on attempts to that side, 89 of which were on 13 attempts outside the tackle. And on 9 of those 13 rushes, Mikey missed, an Eagles defensive back made the tackle. Not a lineman and not a linebacker.
Okay, so what's changed? The change, I guess, is their linebackers look really good. Bradham was all over the field. Hicks was all over the field. But Jernigan is in that spot now.
Timmy Jernigan makes a huge and enormous difference for the Eagles in on plays in which he's on the field. The Eagles are allowing 2.5 yards per rush over the last month. He provides an enormous lift for that group and makes everyone along that defensive front better. You couldn't watch last week and disagree with that notion. He's going to make a huge difference this week,
all
no
right.
doubt.
Stat number three, where the Eagles have the edge is in that so-called 12 personnel. Why?
Since Nick Foles became the starter, Eagles have struck gold with 12 personnel on offense. That's one running back, two receivers, and two tight ends. According to the NFL's Next Gen Stats, Foles has completed 86% of his balls with a passer rating of nearly 130 in that grouping. And that's because Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert create matchup nightmares. 30% of Foles' targets and 12 personnel have been to wide open pass catchers, meaning 5 or more yards of separation. And that's nearly twice the figure when the Birds are in the traditional 11 personnel set.
All right, so do the Saints cover the tight end? Are they capable coverage guys, linebackers and such?
They are, but one thing that's really interesting that I found is that the Saints' defensive backs cover tight ends much less effectively than their linebackers do, and they play with 5 defensive backs more than practically any team in the league. So if Doug Peterson can scheme correctly, getting Goddard and or Ertz onto defensive backs, that's a matchup issue for the Saints, especially between the seam. That's definitely something to watch here.
Good stat. All right, let's go now. This is a bad stat. And this is the rest factor. Not only coming off the bye, but the Saints have been kind of in their easy chairs for a while now, haven't they?
They have, with seemingly every built-in advantage in this game. Not only are they at home coming off a bye, but they also played week 16 and 17 at home. So they haven't had to travel since December 17th after a Monday night win in Carolina. There have been 28 instances in which a team hosted a playoff game off a bye and played each of their last 2 regular season games at home. And Mikey, this is not pretty for the Eagles. Those teams won 20 of those games, with their average win coming by nearly 19 points.
20 of 28.
Yeah.
And the 20 is an average by nearly 19. Not good.
Not good at all, but it should come as no surprise that really good teams at home on a lot of rest do better. Not surprising at all.
Let's go with the line factor. Your last stat is always about the line. The Saints, a current 8-point favorite. What's it mean?
It's not necessarily bad news for Eagles fans, especially if you're betting the game. So in the Super Bowl era, 36 different head coaches have coached at least 40 games as a touchdown favorite. Sean Payton's record in those games is 41-16. That might sound good, but it's actually the worst winning percentage of that entire group. And his teams have covered the number in less than half of those games.
Wow. All right. Fighting chance, it sounds like. But I gotta, before I leave you here, there's this little thing called ESPN's Power or Football Power Index. Now, I just want to read this here.
Mm-hmm.
In FPI's view, this is the best team in the playoffs facing the worst team in the playoffs. It should be a blowout.
That's how FPI feels, but you know what FPI doesn't calculate into its formula?
What's that?
Magic, Mikey Miss. We got no stats for magic
there
in our
it is,
database.
The magic carpet ride.
That's right.
Now, wait a minute. Greenberg dropped the magic carpet ride the other day on show.
He did.
Did that come from you?
It's a whole new world.
Hembo, always a pleasure,
you
man.
Got it,
we'll
baby.
Talk to
You're
you.
You're a good man.
There it is. Hembo. There it is. Hembo tipped him. We got to fess
That's
up.
Awesome. That's awesome.
All right, back to the phones. Robert Yardley. Robert, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robert.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Robert?
Not much. Just got back from lunch a little bit ago and just listened to all the talk. That guy had some good stats, huh?
Every week he has some great stats. He's a great stat. I love that 2.5 seconds to the quarterback stat. That's really important.
Really? I mean, can Schwartz change his game plan to bring that much pressure to get
this is just with the front four. So they did it last week against Chicago. And so, like, if you're going to count on what the Eagles' strength is, it's the same thing this weekend. They don't have to do anything extra except you really have that energy within the front four.
Yeah, I mean, we need those linebackers to play out their wazoo, you know?
Well, the linebackers have to be in coverage.
Really
the linebackers have to pursue. But the front four is what's got to put the pressure on Breeze so he gets rid of the ball late.
Yeah. What about us? We got to run the ball. What do you think? We got to get 100 yards running to keep them off?
I mean, they didn't run the ball last week and they won. I don't know. I'm sure you have to balance it out a little bit. But they showed last week they didn't have a running game. They could still win a playoff game. They're probably going to have a little more balance and run the ball this week because they're going to have to score some more points, I think. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You're right to point that out as a weak part of what the Eagles' attack is going to be Sunday.
They got to get outside or get the dumb passes or what.
I got it. I mean, Darren Sproles has to be the show. Darren Sproles has to play out of his mind.
You got it. I heard you said you like the Chargers. I think you might be onto something there. They're pretty good, man.
Chargers, that's an upset win. The only fear I have is that they have to travel west again or east again from the west, and then they have to be in that cold, and they usually don't respond that well. But the betting line looks to me like it's ripe for an upset for the Chargers.
Yeah. What if they hit Brady really hard for once and then they end it? Yeah, wouldn't that be crazy, right?
What, and Brady?
41 and it snows and they knock him out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Tyrone is rooting for the Chargers to be Philip Rivers guy.
I do. I really like Philip Rivers. He's my guy. I don't know why. And you know what? If the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, if they don't, I want the Chargers to win it because I want to be clear that Philip Rivers was a better quarterback in that draft than Eli Manning. That bothers me that people think Eli's better. I don't know why it bothers me, but it bothers me.
You know, Philip Rivers reminds me of. He reminds me of like a guy who lives in a big house who hosts the dinner party.
I can see that.
Mr. Happy. I just had the people mow the lawn for us.
Yeah, I can see that. He never uses profanity.
He's always excited.
Always
excited about stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's okay with company just popping in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
The more the merrier. Yeah. I can see that.
Well, let's keep the house fresh in case we have company.
I like them. I don't know why.
Let's have another child, too, while we're at it. We have 7. I think we should have 8.
Yeah. I think it's 9. Our number 9's on the way. It's ridiculous. It's so many.
He's one of a kind, that dude.
He is.
All right, we'll take a break. Natalie, I compiled a list of Tony's gumas.
Okay.
He's got 3 main gumas.
Yeah.
And,
who are they?
And a couple of briefs.
Okay.
That 3 briefs, but 3 main gumas.
One of the main ones is the one who was killed, right? He has her killed?
No, she committed suicide.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's why I know the story, but it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah, they were all kind of kooky.
Well.
Yeah, they were flawed.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them.
It's putting it nice. Putting it nicely.
Yeah, I mean, he's a flaw.
Yeah.
It's a walking flaw.
Uh-huh.
610-620-975. Mike Missanelli Show coming back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's 2:46, Mike Missanelli Show. Well, we had Hembo on 3:30, and that made us late for the update for the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. We have a good one going today.
It is a good one, Mike. Will you be crushed if the Eagles lose to the Saints on Sunday? 20% saying yes, team of destiny. 43% saying no, overachieved already. 37% say they just can't think about it, and that's over 1,000 votes so far.
Wow, so the no's are winning. You're in the minority, the crush groove.
I admit 20%. To that. I'm fine understanding how I'll be crushed. 43%
say overachieved. See, the dynamic on this whole thing has changed. The tone. We had the expectations. We got rid of the expectations and kind of got angry when they didn't achieve. But then they made this comeback, and it's something we admire. They're digging themselves out of the rubble. And here they are in the playoffs. So how can we complain? They went to the L.A. They beat that team. They say here and beat the Texans, a team that they were supposed to lose to. They ended the season going in with some momentum, got a little bit of break, and then beat the number one defense. See, people are just loving that kind of story.
The issue is, if Foles is truly magic,
mm-hmm.
then doesn't the magic have to continue if he's magic?
Yeah,
winning one playoff game's not magical. That's not magical.
You know, I'm a spectator to the magic.
Yeah.
I spectate. I see the magic.
Right.
Right? So mine is an everyday active type of examination of this magic. And if they don't do it, then that means the magic has dissipated.
The reason I say
I can accept that.
Right. The reason I say that is when I watched that game, I thought the Eagles were better than the Bears, top to bottom, mm-hmm. 1 through 53. That's what I think. Therefore, to me, them winning isn't magic. Just like last year's Super Bowl run, I look back on it not as magic because I think the Eagles were better than the Vikings and better than the Falcons and better than the Patriots, mm-hmm. 1 through 53. I don't necessarily think they're better than the Saints. And that's why if there's magic, now's the time for the magic to be applied for me. Because now, because I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them being better than them. So now I'm,
right.
A little scared.
Well, we got a whole show left to discuss this whole thing. And before you get back to the phone, so the Tony Guma situation.
Oh, yeah.
Here are the three main Gumas. And you can examine each and every one of them for their merits. There was Rina, the Russian.
Yes.
Tremendously sexy. But a little, shall we say, non-intelligent.
A man ended up taking a beating with a belt over her.
Zelman.
Yes.
Zelman, the assemblyman Zelman made the mistake of going out with her.
Yeah, during the HUD, when they were doing the HUD home right, hustle.
Even though Tony was no longer dating her, it was a violation of Tony.
You know, he went back in the crib with the belt.
Yes. See, I like the Eastern Euros.
Yeah.
All right, so I was a fan of Rina. Guma number two was Gloria Trillo. Who was the executive salesperson at my good friends at Globe Motors Mercedes-Benz.
She was beautiful.
Globe.
Yeah, well, that was Annabelle Escure.
Yeah.
From
yes.
Jungle Fever.
And he met her in the therapist office, and so she had some demons. And in fact, she had that Italian woman that plugged right into my Italian woman fear.
Fire.
Right,
because if you remember,
she threw the London Bro and smacked him in the back of the head with it. And then he went over to Uncle June's, and Uncle June's goes, "You been eating steak?" But then she tragically, she came to an end. She was a faccia bella cara mia. Don't get me wrong, but a little bit of an evil twist to her. And then finally, there was Valentina La Paz, who was with Ralphie as they went to the stables to see Pio Mai. And Valentina was sexy, but also...
Yes.
A little cray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was... Wasn't she... Was she the craziest one?
She burned herself.
Yeah.
Making him a sandwich.
Yes.
It was tragic. And so the briefs are the occasional stripper.
Yeah.
From the Bing.
Uh-huh.
The one-legged Russian, Rita's cousin. And finally, there was Juliana Skiff, the real estate, Juliana Margulies, who was the real estate agent who he called off the sexual, he felt guilty because Carmella had buttoned his shirt for him. This was post-surgery. So he called it off. But then Christopher wound up going out with her, and he paid the price for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Now, all the Gumars.
Yes, your evaluation, Nat,
yeah,
of the Gumars?
They're all nuts.
They're all nuts.
Get involved with somebody like that. You know what's coming.
Which one had the most potential, Tyrone? If you have only three women left, and these it was Rena, Gloria Trillo, Valentina La Paz, which one are you settling down with?
I'm settling down with the Russian.
You settling down with the Russian?
Yeah, because it's a blank slate. Bring her into this country,
huh?
Get her set up right in suburbia with a nice house. Less baggage.
She's not already.
That's what
afflicted.
I'm saying. She's not already right.
Yeah.
I feel like she's going to pick up habits along the way. I'm not inheriting other people's bad habits from years of damage.
So she's like Play-Doh to you.
Yeah.
You can kind of mold it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm making a good living.
Mm-hmm.
She's making a nice dinner. I'm happy. Like, could live it like that. That's what I'm looking at.
Within 2 weeks, you got nothing left to talk to her about.
She
you always find something
right.
new.
She's
you're
a
teaching her.
She doesn't understand your language.
But I got her at the games. I'm teaching her about the pick and roll. It's great.
All is well.
She doesn't know.
Oh, Tony. All right, so you're taking Rena.
I am.
I would choose Rena also.
There you go.
The other two scare me to death.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
And what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Drew?
You know, I think I have to go with Gloria, man. I think I like that craziness throwing.
Yeah, believe me, I don't want anything to do with a plate thrower.
Yeah, well,
you'd be walking away, all of a sudden you get banged in the head with a plate. Then she ripped all the dishes off the table that night and went crazy. I can't deal with that.
Sometimes good, Mike.
No, Drew, believe me, I walk away from that.
Yeah, all right, I hear you. So I think you missed two idiots, though, on the idiot.
Who did I miss?
Definitely Adriana.
Yeah, but Adriana, here's the thing. It takes her out of the realm. She corrected Christopher's misspellings on his screenplay. She knew how to spell the words.
Yeah,
he didn't. He was the idiot. She corrected him. So she was a little cheap, shall we say, I don't think she was that stupid. She was kind of a bimbo. She was bimbo-esque, but I don't know if she was like plain moron.
All right. But then definitely Tony's cousin, Tony Blondetto. He definitely.
I don't know. He was pretty smart. He passed that test.
Tony in a lot of trouble, Mike.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's a moron. He passed that test for the be the therapist.
Yeah.
He had an IQ of 155 that was revealed in the show.
Yeah, but he got Tony in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, that does make him a moron.
Well, he messed with the boss. That's not,
He had a bad temper. He went out and he zipped somebody that he shouldn't have. But he wasn't. Tony Blondetto was smart. 610-632-0975. We're coming back. Eagle Chat after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.